This is the Mahogany Books Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 everybody. I see y'all in the comments over there. I am excited to see you. My name is Ramunda Young, and I am the proud, proud co-owner of Mahogany Books right here in the Washington, D.C. area. And I see y'all in the chat already saying happy Sunday. So wherever you're listening from, I would love for you to drop in the chat where you all are watching from today. So again, my name is Ramunda Young with Mahogany Books. And actually, this is Mahogany Books Front Row. And it's our virtual virtual series that we have when people are at home. And this is a great opportunity for you all to sit back, relax, and chill. We cannot see you, so that's a good plus, because you can relax and grab a drink or grab something to eat and sit back and relax and enjoy this conversation. So a little bit about Mahogany Books. We are in the Washington, D.C. area and have been for about in business for about 19 years now. And I'm in business again with my husband, Derek Young. We've been married actually 23 years. So that's a whole other book. I'm taking notes, the Brad and Judy from y'all's book. But 23 years married. And the whole premise behind Mahogany Books was, how do we make Black books accessible no matter where you live? There are so many cities that do not have Black bookstores, but need and deserve access to our stories. And our bookstore has come into play, into prominence, I should say, because of that type of access that so many of our communities deserve. But I am thrilled to just welcome so many of you all today to this conversation. In the comments, they'll let us know which hashtag they want us to use today. But I would love if you all get some great snippets to hashtag and any kind of information that you've gotten, any kind of tips to post those hashtags on social media. You all are the first groups in the country that are having this type of kickoff and exposure to this amazing book right here, The Way Love Goes. So we would love to hear your feedback and excitement about this conversation that's about to go down. So enough about me. Let's get into it. I am thrilled that today we get to talk about The Way Love Goes, A Guide to Building a Beautiful and Everlasting Relationship by The Brat and Judy. This book was written by hip-hop legend The Brat, her entrepreneurial wife Judy, and is filled with their love story, their journey. But it's also, y'all, part relationship guide. And in that, it's heartfelt, it's funny, and full of wisdom. So I'm excited that you all will have the first look at this amazing book, first part of the conversation of this book today. And yeah, it's going to be good. I'm all excited. So let's get into our moderator, Talia. Talia's actually done some great things with Mahogany Books in the past, too. So we're excited to have you here today, Talia. Talia is a DC-based influencer and host with over 300,000 social media followers and subscribers who love, just crave her daily lists. Also book, travel, and Black-owned business content. When she's not hosting author talks, she's been part of major lineups for major cultural events like Essence Festival, the Harlem Book Fair, and others. Please help me welcome to the stage, Miss Talia. I see you, Talia. How you feeling?
I am feeling great. Really excited to talk about this book. I always write more questions than I need. So I'm just like, when I got to pick and choose, what questions am I going to ask? And I'm really excited to talk about this book. You know, we know The Brat and Judy from social media. They're celebrities. They have a TV show. But what I really enjoyed about this book is that they let us in even a little more to their dynamic, mm-hmm. right? So even if you're a fan of the show, even if you have been a fan of The Brat since 1992, you use Kaleidoscope products, we're learning even more about this couple through this book. So I'm excited to talk to both of them today.
Absolutely. I keep holding up the book because I want y'all to see it and get excited.
It's a gorgeous cover. The cameras doesn't do it justice at all.
Absolutely. So I'm excited, you guys. You guys heard a little bit about their intro already. Hip hop legend, entrepreneur. We got the whole thing. Radio host, all the shebang here to have this conversation. So please help me welcome up to the stage The Brat, the hip hop legend, Miss Judy. Wife Judy is in the building. Entrepreneur is here as well to join us. So I am going to bow out. I can't wait for this conversation to take place. And just a little bit of housekeeping. All of you that are in the chat, if you have a question, please put in the chat around 4:30, 4:40 or so, 4:35 or so. I'll come in those the chat and grab those questions and try to get as many as we can. But please drop your questions in the chat and let's get into it. Thank you all for being here today. The Brad and Judy, thank you both for making space to be here. We can't wait to welcome you here to DC very soon as well. So let's get into it.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. I don't know if I see DeBrad and Judy's camera. Is that just me? Either way, we could still get started as long as you all are seeing it at home. DeBrad and Judy, welcome. Early congratulations on your book.
Thank you.
How are you feeling? First book drops on Tuesday. What are you feeling?
That's crazy. We feel good. We're excited. It's like a little bit of pressure because we get like we kind of nervous. Like we want the best for it. We want it to do great. We want people to love it. You know, we've been getting nothing but good feedback. So it's been great so far.
Agreed. Wonderful. Wonderful. So I want to start with an icebreaker before we kind of dive into the book. And because I've read the book, listened to the book, for those who love audiobooks, listen to the audiobook. You're going to hear it in their voice and their tone. They're not... They're speaking as if they're speaking to you as they do on camera, as they do on social media. This is not altered because it's a book. They're speaking in their voices. So I might know the answers to these questions, but for the audience, I want them to kind of guess who's who. So I'm going to ask a prompt and you're going to tell me which one of you best fit the prompt. Are you ready?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Who's the better cook? Okay. What's your specialty dish?
I don't know if I have a specialty dish. I think the thing that they like the most right now is I will make a pan of spaghetti. So the first time I made one pan and it wasn't enough. So then I started making two pans.
Huge pans.
Right. But then that don't last more than like 2-3 days. So last night I took a stab at making a lasagna soup.
So good.
Oh, and it was, I tried to make a small thing, but I wound up making a big pot of it and now it's almost gone.
Yes.
But my wife has never had my smothered turkey. You never had my smothered turkey neck.
No.
Right. Like, I think she should have my smothered turkey neck and
she's an amazing
bell pepper, you know, like the New Orleans stuff.
From New Orleans, so I know the food is good. I know it's good.
Yes.
Who's the first to apologize?
Me.
You said that like it is me.
Yes. It's a curse for everything now.
Why do you think that's the case? Why do you
think she might be more mature?
Okay.
I don't know. It's either that or when we have disagreements, I'm a person that kind of So she wants to talk about it head on right then and there. I need time to digest it.
But then the day could go on and it's still not digested because she has a million other things on her plate. So it could just go on and I don't like that. We're still working on that. We're still a work in progress.
Okay. Who's more organized? Okay. Has the other...
No, wait, that's organized with things, not with time.
Okay, because that might be a difference. That might be a difference.
Yes, definitely, yes.
Who's better with money?
I have help. Like, I have people helping me. I really try not to deal with it.
Since she was younger, her aunt has always been the person over all of her finances. So she never really had to deal with it.
Right.
Okay.
So even like if I want to talk to her about something, I'll be like, you know what, I'm just call Amy. And I'm gonna just call y'all.
And she's glad to help. So that's good. That's
right.
Good. And then last one, who's the better gift giver?
I don't know. I feel like we do a good job together.
What is each other's most memorable gift from the other?
Oh my God. Now that is super hard. That's super hard when you've gotten a couple of Bentleys, a few millions in diamonds. Like it's very that's hard.
I'm trying to think though.
Like surprise hotel rooms.
Right, so it doesn't have to be like the most expensive. I guess like you know it could be
my birthday surprise birthday party where you ended up proposing. Like, it's all these, it's so many different things, because when I think it's one thing, it's not even that thing, and it ends up being like two or three more things. So that's hard. We have a lot of them. It's a lot.
Right. I'm trying to think of my favorite one. The thing that's standing out the most, it's material. Like, you got me to watch twice.
Oh, babe.
She got me a watch and I lost it. And then she got me another watch.
That is amazing.
But yeah, those were my icebreakers, and clearly you guys know each other so well. So Brat, hip-hop legend, Judy, business mogul, social media darling, what was it like becoming authors and writing this book?
You go.
It was different for me because I'm used to just, you know, like writing, being a lyricist, you know, so writing a book, when you're telling like your story, you got to go deep, kind of, you got to get vulnerable. You have to, you know, especially the type of book this is, you got to, you know, go into your stories and the things you've been through. And sometimes some of that stuff is still, you know, may have just been a Band-Aid put on it. And then you talk about it some more. It's like, ugh, you really don't want to talk about it or address it. But it kind of brought closure to a few things and, you know, some resolve to a couple of things. So it was good. It was very therapeutic in a way.
And yeah, I'm about to say, this was my second. This was the first one that I did like a self-published. So this was this was my first time like doing it with like a major publisher, and then doing it with my beautiful. But it was kind of a little tricky, because when she was doing her part and I was doing my part, when we first started, we did it together. It was like, nah, I think you should do your part over there. I should do my part over here. And then we should come together at some other point.
And when you guys came together to kind of not compare notes, compare what you've written, what were some of the things that surprised you about each other's notes and writing?
It surprised me how she went deep into kind of like her past more. It made me want to dig deeper into mine. I'm like, oh, this is what we doing. Okay, so I kind of followed her lead as far as telling more in-depth stories of things that happened to me in my past.
Yeah, yeah. And in the book, it's called Reflections, right? Kind of like those backgrounders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there any of it that was really hard for you to kind of take the Band-Aid off of? Like, were there moments where you're like, oh, I don't want to talk about this, but you felt like you had to talk about it?
That was a few things. That was, you know, anytime we've had disagreements that I don't want to talk about no more. She likes to bring up that I ghosted her. She likes to bring up the beginning of our relationship. Like, I don't want to talk about that shit. I don't want to keep talking about it. But she talks about it and she brings it up. So we continue to talk about it. And it needed to be in the book. So we addressed it again.
And it happened.
You're right.
No, and that kind of like back and forth, that hurts her. You definitely, there are still things that you two may not fully agree upon, even to this day, right, years later. But I do want to go back to the beginning. So for those of us who are not lucky enough to have that second chance, because, you know, for the most part, Brat, you fumbled just a little bit when y'all first met. For those who don't have that second chance, what are some of those golden rules which you kind of outline in the book as your pieces of advice that you think people should take heed to in the event they don't have a second chance like you both?
Like, you mean if they don't get a second chance?
Yeah, and like, how do you not fumble the first time?
Right.
Like, what are those golden rules they should lean on?
I know what she's going to say. She's going to say communication.
Communication. And keep it 100 up front, your whole situation. I was afraid of losing her, and I should have just been honest up front. It would have made things easier, but because I was afraid of losing her, I didn't want to be honest because I didn't want to lose her. So I would say, even though it's hard to do, just have that conversation, because you should give the other person the option whether they want to wait or not.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that's the biggest takeaway from that chapter is communication, because You both had different communication styles. You both have very different relationships with your phones, right? Judy is the social media star, the entrepreneur.
Yes.
Brad is like, when I
leave the being job, messy. You being messy.
Yes.
I just remember what I read in the book. So yeah, for you all to figure out communication, given how different your communication styles were and how long distance you all were, how long distance the relationship was in the beginning, to see you all overcome that and have a common understanding. I really loved reading that.
Thank you.
So this book is all about your golden rules. You have, you know, stories of your relationship, but in every chapter, you list several golden rules. When you were writing, brainstorming for the book, what were some of the golden rules that came to mind first when writing this?
I can tell you where the concept came from.
Yes.
I'm a person, I like sum it up, ADHD, whatever you want to call it, will have read 15 pages, get to page 27. I don't remember what was on page 12. So I felt like we needed to put something in there that would be like a summary, layman's terms, straight to the point. If you ain't catch nothing else out of what we said, I need you to catch this. You trying to find the one you like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You highlighted it?
Mm-hmm. Girl, go and finish saying what you say. You messing with me over here.
Girl, and these golden rules, girl. I think she wants to write them down and put them on the wall.
I think I should get them tattooed all over my body.
No, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think so for her, the one that is key is the communication one.
Mm-hmm.
You're not on the screen no more. They looking for you, girl.
Here I go. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop looking at you.
Yeah. It's communication. Because the thing is, we give each other space, right? What? We give each other space, but then it's very important for her to know that, you know, if something is going on with me, what's going on? And she doesn't have to be overbearing, trying to pry into it too much. But you see what I'm saying? So I know for her, communication was a big deal. Because I am a person, I try to carry the whole weight of the world.
Yes, and I hate that. Like, I think I'm here for her to share some of the weight with, but she'll just keep it all inside. And it's a lot of stuff. Like, put some of it on me. I may not be able to fix it all, but maybe I could do a little bit of something to help, or just, you know, lighten the load a little bit. And she still does that, though. We still working at it.
So this book, in your introduction, you say that this book is for everyone. Can you kind of speak to who's in that everyone, who feels like they can benefit from this book and your story and your golden rules?
Oh, absolutely. So that's whether you straight, gay, non-binary, whether you single and looking, whether you married and it's complicated, whether you married and happy, whether you got a situationship, whatever it is, this can speak to it because it's about relationships in general. And it has nothing, it's not necessarily a relationship with a woman and a woman, with a woman and a man. It's just humans, humans that were able to find love and learn how to navigate it. I feel like social media does this thing where it glamifies everything. So we just were trying to let people know that we are human, how we work through our everyday problems, that is a normal person's everyday problems. And yeah, and you can get on the other side. And don't give up.
Don't give up. Don't give up. Because I wasn't even looking, child. And when she came talking about she was interested in me, it just fucked me all the way up. So, and I'm grateful because look at me now. Like, I'm so blessed and I'm grateful that, you know, I didn't give up, and that even when I fumbled, I stayed at it and I didn't give up, and I was talking.
Girl, she act like she wanted it.
Apparently, I did.
You mentioned stalking, Brett. You mentioned stalking, and that part of the book was kind of hilarious how, like, persistent. Yeah. You're like, I'm checking daily, and then you're like, no, I'm going to check once a week. And
right. Yeah, because daily was like, oh, it's never going to happen.
No, but it was definitely worth the wait. So, celebrities, what are some of the golden rules you had to really stick to make sure that your celebrity, the TV, the radio, the business, the social media, did not negatively impact your relationship?
Us are insecure, though.
Right.
We're insecure with each other.
That taught me, even when she say check, it would say check your motherfucking tongue.
Yes, I remember that.
right, in the book. So I think she's taught me how to not fall into that stuff or fall into the pressures of what that looks like, because everybody's going to have their opinion about you and your relationship. So I think having a strong bond.
How about for you, Brett? Like, being a celebrity, what were some of those things you feel like you had to do to make sure that this relationship doesn't fall to the demands of being a public figure?
I think that we're so secure within ourselves that, and she know I ain't going nowhere, and I know she ain't going nowhere. And if it's anything that I do that she doesn't like, and she lets me know, like, I immediately fix it, you know, and vice versa. Like, she had a friend, I don't even talk about it, that I felt like was crushing on her, you know, I didn't want to think that, but that's kind of what was happening. And she ended up like not really speaking to that person anymore because she didn't want me to feel uncomfortable, because she tried to look at it from where I was coming from and kind of saw the same thing. So you have to just be secure within yourself and your relationship and your partner, because that's something I don't worry about. Like, I don't worry about nothing the industry says about us to break us up, nothing no ex got to say about us to break us up. Like, nothing can fuck with us, only us. And we not having that. And whatever it is, we're going to fix it and work through it. We're married. It's till death do us part over here. Like, my wife's mom and dad were the perfect example, you know what I'm saying, of being together, like, for 30, how many years?
They were, they had me and my sister before they actually got married.
Okay.
They were together till my dad passed away, so.
Yeah, like, so what I don't think we got married to get divorced. And I just think that whatever it is, we'll push through, we'll stick it out. We have a beautiful son. We have a beautiful family, you know, and I just think we're not going to succumb to anything that the industry brings at all. We've mm-hmm. both been in the game too long to, we don't care about that. This is what's important.
Love to hear it. So I want to call out some specific stories, chapters in the books, and I want you to speak to, without spoiling it too much, the biggest lesson you each learned from that situation. You ready?
Uh-oh. Yeah, we're ready.
So I'm going to call this first one, I'm calling it Pretty Toes.
Oh, Lord.
What is that lesson?
Find out what your partner don't want you to be saying.
Girl, you ain't supposed to say that. You ain't supposed to tell your ex or anybody used to deal when they got pretty feet while in a relationship. But oh, hey, your feet.
It was really not on no flirty shit. It was really like... whatever. It really wasn't on no flirty shit. But when I found out she didn't appreciate it, I definitely never did it again in life. And that was years ago. You know, you find out what they don't like and you don't do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the consideration. I think that's the big takeaway. And if you were to put the shoe on the other foot, would you feel okay with that? You have to kind of see where they're coming from.
Well, I have a question for you. Would that have been okay for your partner?
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. And I think it would take putting the shoe on the other foot to be like, mm-hmm. okay, I get it. And if that means making my partner happy, you know, shutting that down, then I'm gonna shut it down because
I want
the relationship to work. Right. Next situation, or not situation, I'm gonna call it the coming out, the posting of the photo on Instagram confirming your relationship, because there was a lot of speculation before that confirmation. Mm-hmm. What was the biggest lesson for each of you from that moment?
Um,
What's yours?
Mine is, I'm just happy I had somebody to make me feel like I wanted to scream it from the mountaintop. I had somebody bring something out of me or unlock that door that's been shut so long, and it made me just want to hold her hand in public, tell the world who I love. Like, it made me not want to hide anything anymore.
And mine was, it's okay to hold her hand walking into a safety zone. You know, it's okay. Like, she is a person that doesn't mind being led, but also doesn't mind leading. So it's okay to lead sometimes.
Yeah, because it was you that posted it, and it was just kind of like, it's out there, and we'll deal with whatever comes our way. But for the most part, it was a pretty positive response.
I wasn't scared, though. I had already been very transparent on social media, and I already know it's like 95% positive, and it's always going to be the 5% negative that I always feel louder than the positive.
Right.
So I kind of had some... I was like, girl, she gonna be fine. And plus, some people already think you is.
Well, for me, I had been hiding it, whether they thought I was or not.
No, I know.
And everybody didn't think I was.
No, I know, but it was just a joke. It was a joke.
Whatever.
And then the last thing. So, in the book, you talk about how, for the most part, you know, things you see eye to eye, you get along, but it seems like your reality show Brat Loves Judy is kind of like that point of tension for you all. What have you had to learn navigating the reality show and one person willing to put more of themselves in the relationship out there and the other person is more hesitant? Like, what have you had to learn from navigating the reality show?
To meet in the middle.
Yeah.
To meet in the middle, because even though I want to give it all to them and do the thing, then, like, when we did Brat Loves Judy, we were not just executive producers by title, but we actually had a lot to do with what we were shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, you know, like, go into the meetings, I would lay it out, this, this, and the other, and I would just expect her to show up. And she's like, well, who said it? Why are we at this location? I'm like, girl, I knew. And then I was like, you know what? Let's meet in the middle. Because I know, you know, I know me saying, okay, should be fine. But I also have to consider, you know, does she want it to look this way? Does she want to talk about this?
Your ancestor's story is proof that strength and dignity endure even when everything else is taken away. When it comes to honoring that legacy, your privacy should never be in question. At AfricanAncestry.com, your story and your information belong to you. We destroy every DNA sample and never sell or share your data with anyone. Discover where in Africa your story began, accurately and safely, with AfricanAncestry.com.
Does she want this subject to actually be covered?
So. Right. And I know that you know what you're doing, but I want to say so, too.
Right. So that meet in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay. How has your relationship evolved from friendship to dating to marriage to parenthood?
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, how has it evolved? I think it's evolved like... almost 100%, like, from friendship to dating to...
She said, how, though?
How? Well, I think we know each other more. We have a son. She lets me be a mom and make decisions that I'm not really sure of all the time, but she lets me make them. You know what I mean? You know, even though she is already, like, a mother of three, she's not, like... You have to do it this way because this is what I, you know, she lets me experience the ups and downs of whatever it is that I need to go through with our son. We're friends. I mean, we can talk about anything, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, she don't like for me to ever see her cry. She's very tough. Like, she's very tough. I feel like I cry more now since I've had my son than anybody. Like, she might catch me crying and be like, what's wrong with you? And I don't necessarily want to tell her because she's so strong and she has so much on her plate. Am I veering off? Because, you know, I start talking about all kind of other things.
No, you're good.
I feel like we've grown and we're better, and we continue to work at being better, because you never know. Everybody changes, and things, you know, as time goes on, you may learn new things about yourself that you didn't know, which then mean your partner has to learn those things about you and get used to those things and adapt to those things. So I think we're still a work in progress, but we love each other so much that we try to make sure that the both of us are okay.
Agreed. Yeah, that's wonderful. And you both have talked about, you know, not being perfect and still being works in progress. How has your relationship improved since writing this book?
I think go ahead. I've just been talking.
You're good.
I just feel like with us doing like interviews with you and different podcasts and stuff like that, I feel like we have more conversation, mm-hmm. and she'll say something and it'll just melt my heart. And I'll be like, oh my God, I don't want to seem like, you know, she didn't tell me this before, but oh my God, I love you so much. And I just feel like it's even more communication. I feel like it's bringing us even closer, because we may have a full day of she got all this shit to do and I got all this shit to do and I'm playing with my son and she on the computer, and we may not talk a lot during the day, but then we have to get on an interview or something and we talk. I get warm fuzzy sometimes when I hear the things that she's saying, because a lot of times we don't really get a lot of time to talk until we like do our date night or something like that. So, you know, I'm really grateful for the book, for the interviews that we get to do, for the time I get to spend with my beautiful and sit here and talk and hear her reminisce about the things about me. That it just makes me feel good. That's my take on it. I love it.
How about you, Judy?
I feel like it shows me a level of like the process of doing the work prior to and now doing the work after. It shows me a level of discipline. Like, you know, we've been very easygoing or whatever. So I feel like it brings a level of discipline between us again. It brings us a level of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not schedule, routine. Mm. Because life had become very unroutine. Mm-hmm. We had our stanky man, so I feel like it has...
Our stanky man, our son.
That's true.
Our baby boy. I feel like that has... Because that's something that I've been trying to get us back on for a while. And I feel like we finally have evolved to start work. Now, we're not there yet, mm-hmm. but evolved to start getting back to that.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. So something I like to ask authors, I want to ask them about their pub day, publishing day, routine celebrations. How are you celebrating Tuesday?
Oh, girl, they got us doing back to back. We might have to stop at a Starbucks and get something, or get something. Like, we might have to stop.
Yeah.
You know what? It's on shelves and bars, you know? We might have to just go and do something there, like bring a little confetti popper and go in. Just go in. Don't tell them you're coming. Go in, do that, and leave.
We have no time, okay? The schedule is full.
Make time.
Well, maybe when we do dinner, we'll do some type of little toast or celebration or something, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's well-deserved because, again, I really enjoyed this book. I loved seeing more of your relationship beyond what we've seen online and on the show and in media. I think this book is for those who are familiar with your relationship or think they're familiar and want to know more or want to know more, or, you know, people who don't know who you are, which I don't understand how they cannot, but in the event that they don't, I think both parties benefit really, really well. Ramunda is back, so it's time for questions. Debrat, Judy, thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure at the end we'll get kind of like the full tour schedule. I just want to shout y'all out. It's the first day of Black History Month, and I love that this is being put on by a Black-owned bookstore. Y'all are Black, obviously. And it seems like your entire team around this book, yeah, is Black. The editors, the publicist, the marketing consultants. Amistad is kind of like, you know, a Black nonfiction imprint within HarperCollins. So I have to say, happy Black History Month. This is wonderful.
You know, I might have to make a post about this.
Yes. Yeah, no, this is a very Blackity Black affair. And I talk to a lot of authors, and it's not the full team, and the tour isn't mostly Black owned bookstores. So happy Black History Month. You have the floor now. DeBrad and Judy, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Get it, Talia. Let me, I brought my clacker in here now. Get it, Talia. Both y'all killed it. And you're right. This is Black on Black launch for the book. So I'm excited about that for a lot of different reasons, but I'm just holding it up. So a lot of people in the chat are like, I can't wait to get their book. And so we definitely have your book at Mahogany Book. If you already ordered it, you can pick it up and then bring it back to the rescheduled date that we have. I see you, Brad, picking yours up. You don't have yours. I was going to say, we're going to put them up for a picture, but It's coming. Yeah. But I do have some questions that people have posted in the comments over here. So I'm going to read a couple of them for you. And so this first one says, it's for Judy. And it says, Judy, boss lady, do you still be on your phone all day? I remember Brad was always fussing and trying to get your attention on the show. How are you balancing that now? Has it gotten better since? I'm just reading. Don't shoot the messenger, boo. I'm just reading. Brad shaking head no, and Judy coming out the frame. So where we at? What's...
It has not. Don't be rolling your eyes at me. It has not gotten better. It is 10 times worse, but I'm used to it. And I realized that she started her business by trolling and seeing what people were
trolling,
doing.
Trolling means I'm making fun of somebody.
Okay, no. Well, scrolling.
Yeah.
Scrolling. Yeah. And she's always scrolling. Well, she has to see what's going on in the world.
So I still am on my phone, but I try to, instead of just being on my phone, I try to incorporate her and let her know what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, so she doesn't think I'm just strolling, because half of the time it's me doing a meeting.
Trolling or scrolling?
Scrolling. Half the time it's me doing a meeting or trying to fix a problem that has happened or trying to get in front of something or putting out fires and, you know, with having retail distribution in the climate of the world right now, getting in front of all of that. So... It's not on purpose. It ain't because I don't want to talk to her. I run a business. And that business run me right now.
So the answer is, it's worse. But I understand.
Listen, you're talking to the entrepreneur. It's not a game out in these streets. It's to balance it
all. And people don't be wanting to be working. And they don't be doing the right thing.
That part. All the time.
But that's a conversation for another day.
It's a real juggle. I'm just going to share my little two cents. Sometimes my husband I'm watching TV and he's sitting next to me, but he's on his phone. And he was like, honey, this is quality time. I'm like, no, that's not quality time for me. Quality time is put your phone down. We might be watching TV at the same time, but just because you're sitting next to me is not quality time for me. Everybody's different. I'm just giving Ramonda's perspective. Right. So he's learned to try to put his phone down and be present and not on his phone. And then, you know, that deems quality time for me. So we're learning too, 23 years in, we're still learning. So
yeah, you'll no never shame. Stop.
Never stop. Okay, next question I have here from someone in the comments. It says, Brad Attack Tat, where is the album you were working on the show? Is it coming? Is it not? We miss it. We're excited.
Man, I have it. I have all kinds of music. I just feel like the industry is so different. I just feel like people don't appreciate good, genuine music like they used to. And I just feel like I don't want to put out 30 songs a day and then they just fly past. I want people to hear them, understand them, vibe with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, not hear.
I think the connection. Oh, we can't hear you. I don't know if you push mute.
Yeah, I can see, but I can't hear.
Oh,
got it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're back.
I'm just trying to get with the flow of the way things are today. Like, I have a lot of good shit, but I need people to appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? And when my fans hear it, I want them to hear me and understand, like, what I was, like it used to be. And I know it's not going to be like it used to be, but things come around. So I'm just hoping.
And she has so much good music. She has a lot of good features. She got a lot that she built up and she ain't telling y'all about.
I do. Because I'm not just a rapper. You know, I grew up in church. I'm a writer. I write R&B songs. I write gospel songs. Like, I'm just not a one-trick pony. I have a lot of things in my arsenal. But I just don't want to put it out and then just go to the side. Like, you know, I just don't want it to go to waste. I want people to get it, love it, understanding. You know what I'm saying? Understand it and just appreciate it. And it's just not that anymore. Yes. And I'd rather keep it to myself and play it for my loved ones. So you can appreciate it.
That's okay.
Yeah, but you know, look, I'm not in the music biz. I am your audience. I loved your music. And so I think if you stay true to you, I'm here, I'm waiting. So I think there's many, 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 many of us who are excited about your music just as it is coming from you. And you're right, the music industry now is off the chain a little bit. And I'm older, I don't know.
Girl.
I'm waiting for your music because I know it came from you and how you showed up for us in the past. It's only going to be a more mature level, probably, you know, more grown, whatever it is. So we wait for whenever you're ready to put out, just as you see fit.
Okay.
To change. I'm just saying.
All right. Thank you.
And in the comments, they're saying we're ready and we need it. So.
Okay. All right.
Just how it's supposed to come out from you.
Okay.
Let me see. Next question. Someone said a more serious question. It says, how have you all worked through triggering each other's traumas when they show up? Like, how have you worked through that? We got people on here in relationships, looking to be in a relationship. Some are married. But again, how have you worked through triggering each other's traumas when they show up?
Oh, you know, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. Have I ever triggered any of your traumas?
What's my trauma like?
I don't know, whatever they are. So she's triggered some of mine, but I never communicated it with her. What? Because as soon as it happened, I identified that I'm not in that space anymore. Like, so I used to date this person and...
Oh, God.
And when they would come home, I realized there was this trick somebody told me about it. You go in their blocks, and the blocks is the people, like people that was on a recently block, was all of the people that they didn't want calling while they were home because they weren't supposed to be talking to them. So, I mean, I used to go through her phone and go through her block. So, you know, like if she would, because I was like, why is her block list so long? You know what I'm saying? I ain't telling it though. Why is your block list so long? So, but then I had to realize that they weren't the same. I had to take myself outside of that and say, like, you know.
Yeah,
she would come home and sometimes stay in a car on the phone for like 10 or 15 minutes. And we actually have a camera outside that records audio. So I'm like, you can't put yourself in those old situations because she would be on the phone with her godmama. She would be on the phone with her best friend. She would just be continuing her conversation. And then she would take it. She would eventually come inside once it was completed.
Right.
So she can have her full attention in here. But I had to, I dealt with that myself without even saying, why you gotta be outside on your phone?
Ooh.
I ain't gonna lie.
As you did.
I listened to the audio on the camera though.
That part.
You ain't shit.
You ain't right. But what about you, Brad? Any triggers for you?
She seems like she must not have no, unless I haven't triggered a trauma yet.
I don't know. I don't really feel like I know. What does that mean?
A trauma. So if let's just say one of your exes cheated on you with niggas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, niggas just always call my phone.
Mm-hmm.
It might trigger your trauma that, oh, she must be talking to them because that's what you got in your past.
Yeah, no, I haven't had anything that made me feel like that about you yet. Hopefully I don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. that's a blessing.
Niggas call you, girls call you. You're in the line of work where people are going to call you, so that's not one of them. What's another kind? Help me out.
whatever might in your past really fucked you up a little bit. I'm sorry if I'm not supposed to curse. Really messed you up a little bit. Like, you know, it just made you feel sideways.
It may have, but I feel like that's the past and I don't even bring that or think about it. I don't think nothing you do could trigger a trauma from my past because...
It might not have been traumatizing enough.
You're you. I've had some traumatizing shit happen, but you've never done anything to make me think that you might do this to me or you might do that.
No, I agree. I didn't think that you was doing this or doing that, but it brought you back to a place where, I don't know now, this behavior look familiar.
Mm-hmm. Girl, ain't nobody doing shit over here. You know I ain't fucking this up.
I know.
Okay, good. That's good.
That's why we talk about it.
Yeah, I love that, though. Another question I see over here, it says, in the quiet moments away from the cameras, oh, this is my question. In the quiet moments away from the cameras and applause, what does love look like in your home? What does it look like? What does it sound like? When y'all, no cameras, no makeup, what is it? How do you be like, man, this is my boo, this is my wife right here. How does that show up for you guys?
I think it's our everyday talk. Like, how it show up for me with her is, you know, hey, do you need anything? Like, before she goes to work, she makes sure I take my medicine. Not her medicine. She makes sure I take my medicine. And we still do it sometimes. She would set up a little pallet on site, because when our son comes down, he comes down and spends about an hour time with me before he starts to get ready for school. So
he sleeps with my mom upstairs in her room, his game.
Right. So she'll set up a pallet on site, a little station with the diapers, his favorite drink, and all of the stuff before she leaves, so I don't have to get out of the bed and go get it. And so he does it, like, it's all of the things that I don't ask for that she just does to try to make my life very convenient and try to make, like, she always lets me know that I'm thought about.
Mm-hmm. I love that. What about you, Brad? What does love look like in your home when it's no cameras, no applause? What does it look like for you?
Watching my beautiful with her hair out, or either in a bonnet with some booty shorts on, watching her walk away and just loving to see her ass jiggle, loving when she get out of the shower and just watching her be naked as the water drips off of her body. I love the fact that when she comes to bed, we get our quiet time. Our TV blew out the other day and we not getting it back, because we like to just be in the room, kind of like when it's quiet and it's just like us. So, you know, I just love all the little things about my beautiful. She got a lot of weird shit that she do. Like, she'll pick all the skin off of her lips. Like, she will sit, if a little piece of dry skin, oh, she'll pick the whole lip for an hour until there's, like, no dry skin left. And I just watch her, and it's so funny. It's weird, but I love those little things about her. So, like, yeah, and she's got this ear thing. Like, she's got this thing. They make this ear thing with a camera on it, and it cleans your ear, but you can see the shit in your ear. Like, you can see the stuff on your phone. So I just love watching her do all of this little weird stuff that she loves to do, because it makes her who she is. Like, all
right, you know, it makes me happy, because I feel like when I go in my ear and I was like, oh, beautiful, look, they got me like, oh, you got something good.
Y'all crazy. But you know, that's just real talk. I'm in a marriage too, and it's the things that nobody sees that makes this person for you. And for me, I have no eyebrows. I got some on here a little bit, but I have really no eyebrows at home. And when I'm at home with no makeup, my husband's like, I love you just like that. I'm like, I don't have any eyebrows. What are we talking about? But this is the person for him. And I'm the person. So it's like, forget everything that else is going on. This is my person behind closed doors. And so I just love that you all are just being this transparent, this forthcoming. You know, I think we live in such a celebrity-driven culture that there's y'all real folks behind closed doors.
Yes.
People need to hear that and be humanized that as people. We need to hear that. So I just love that. You always show up as yourselves all the time, but just continuing to do that just really endears so many more people to y'all. So I just want to say, personally, from Ramunda, I'm grateful for you all just showing up.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah, that's real talk. I love it. It's not a game out in these marriage streets. It takes work.
Oh, it does. It does.
It takes work.
It does.
Let me see. I have one more question here. Let me see. The comments are going so fast. I'm trying to keep up. I saw one. This is from Casey. She says, Brad, you are vulnerable in this book in a way we haven't seen. What made you decide to be open, especially with talking about sex? I don't know. We can have this on air. We grown. Come on.
Well, my wife thought that I was going to be shy, because I'm normally like a shy person when it comes to sex. I like to keep all that stuff to myself. I like to just do what I do and make it do what it do. But I just felt like we were talking about it. So I wanted to tell some of the amazing things that has happened. That's all.
She wanted to make sure to let the world know that she good at what she do.
I do. And I am. I do, and I am. Are you happy?
Yes.
Then that's all I said, huh? Yeah. Oh. What do you mean? Oh, I was right. Static over here. What are you saying?
No, what are you saying?
Nothing.
I love it. I love it. Well, one of the questions I saw in your book, I love that you guys come to the table with spirituality, right? That it was important to you. Why was this important to add in the book? Because you could have wrote the book, not even mentioned spirituality, but why was it important to show that aspect of who you are in this book? Why?
Because God is why we are here. God, we believe in God. We are God-fearing women. We pray over our food in the car, on the plane. We don't play about God because we know he don't play about us. And no matter what we go through, it is his will. Everything is God's will. Whether it's bad or the worst situation, there's a lesson to be learned in it. And you have to pray and ask God for understanding and try to figure it out. You know, everything is not going to always be good, but he's just preparing you for the next huge blessing that he's going to give you when you're going through a storm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think we were rooted in, like, both of us were raised and rooted in faith. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're gonna pass the offering plate because y'all are over here preaching right now. So, the Cash App offering. No, okay. My last question here before we log off: if someone were to read The Way Love Goes, really just while grieving a love that they thought they'd never have, what do you hope your story whispers to them? What does this story, y'all, put on this page? What should it tell them if they never thought that they could have love for themselves?
That it's never too late. And don't give up just because of a failed relationship. And the second that you stop looking for it, it finds you.
Amen to that. Amen to that. The second you stop looking and you focus on whatever you're doing in your life or whatever the thing that makes you happy doing is, it will come to you if it's meant to be. Like, maybe you need to stop chasing it if it's not happening. Don't be out here sleeping with everybody trying to figure it out. Like, if it's meant to be, it will happen for you. Like, don't give up.
I love that. Let me tell y'all something. Thank you for this book. Thank you for your courage to put it out into the world. I'm a bookstore owner. I have thousands of books in our store, but I cannot wait for people to get your story. And that's real talk. People need to see Black people talking about relationships, talking about marriage, talking about how to be transparent and vulnerable in these relationships. It's not a game out here. And for you all to do this and put your own story on the page, I just want to say thank you. I know so many other people will just benefit from you being open and honest about your relationship. So thank you all. I can't wait to have y'all.
Thank y'all so much. We appreciate y'all so much. And we enjoyed this so much. We missed it. But when we come to D.C., we promise to come see y'all. We love y'all so much, and we are so grateful. Thank y'all.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Everybody have a great time. You'll see tour details coming soon. We'll email them all, but thank you all for being here today and spending this Sunday with you all. Talia, thank you so much.
Casey, thank you both. I love the audiobook. Audiobook listeners, this is a good listen. Listen to it if you like audio. But yeah.
So. Absolutely. Have a great Sunday. Safe travels, everybody.
Thank you, honey. You guys too. Bye.
Right, bye-bye.
Congrats.
What's going on, family? This is Derek Young.
And Ramonda Young.
Owners of both Mahogany Books and the Mahogany Books Podcast Network.
We really want to thank each and every one of you for listening to this episode. And if you enjoyed what you just heard, drop us a review and rate us on whatever platform you download podcasts on.
We truly appreciate each and every one of you for supporting us and making us your go-to for Black books. And we look forward to connecting with you all sometime in the future.
Thank you again, fam. And always remember, Black books matter.